7. Now then, tonight on Ask Dr. Josh, we are talking about the link between codependency and narcissism. At first blush, you might think that people who are codependents and those who are narcissists are a world away from each other. But often, the two can overlap. And particularly, if you find yourself in a relationship or you found yourself previously in a relationship with somebody, who you think, is preoccupied with self, essentially puts themselves on a pedestal, is only concerned with themselves, but you stayed and you left wondering, why have I stayed? We're talking tonight with Dr. Josh about the link between codependency and narcissism. And we're joined on the line, as we are every Wednesday at this time, by clinical psychologist and behavioural scientist, Dr. Josh Claypo. Dr. Josh, hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing absolutely well. This is quite a heady topic you have.
Yeah, and you know why I wanted to talk about this is because more and more I am seeing, not just on the internet and on social media and various things like that, but among my friendship group, these two terms, codependency and narcissism. And the more that I share with my friends, the more that I share in the recovery groups that I'm in, the more that I'm reading online, there seems to me to be a link between codependency and narcissism, whether that exists within one person or in the context of a relationship. Would it be true to say that? Am I picking up the right vibes?
You are, and that's what makes it kind of heavy, because it exists both within the same person and it can exist in a relationship. And I don't even know exactly where to start. But if you think about it from a relationship, it's probably a little easier to understand. A narcissist, we typically think of as being sort of self-absorbed. And I'm using some sweeping terms, but self-absorbed. And a codependent person tends to be other-absorbed. And so if you think about it, initially those two work beautifully together, because the narcissist, it's all about them. And for the codependent, it's all about doing whatever for the other person. And so it works really well. And in fact, that's why initially they can be attracted to one another. Before any of the, if you will, the pathology starts coming out, initially it works perfectly. I love his or her confidence. I love the fact that they rely on me. It works beautifully. And then later on, the pathology comes out.
Sure. Let's just talk about from a clinical perspective the term codependency. Who are we talking about? What are we talking about when we say you are codependent?
Yeah, it's interesting. The definition I like to use, I mean, it comes from the dictionary, but it's excessive or excessive emotional or psychological reliance on a partner. So if you think about it, basically, in order for you to function, you must rely excessively on someone else. You don't make it through without this other person. And we've talked about this before in other segments, the idea that in a healthy relationship, the other person enhances you, but you're a strong individual that can make it on their own. Codependents basically fall apart if there's not somebody else to engage or enable. They can't literally function on their own.
So what type of relationships do codependents typically get into? Because is it a case that they will head straight for, let's say, somebody who has addiction issues or somebody who is a narcissist? Is that the pattern if that person's not in recovery from or working towards recovery?
Yeah, because you think about it, think about all of the emotional energy that someone who has an addiction problem requires, if you think about it. They're struggling. If they're in the middle of an addiction, there's lots of manipulation. There's lots of ups and downs. It's just emotionally draining for most of us. If you're codependent, it's almost what you feed off of. Narcissists are similar in that way. there's manipulation, there's focus on them and what they're doing. And so the emotional energy that, if you will, temporarily fuels a codependent is there. And that's why I'm saying in the short run, it's almost attractive.
Mm.
I can help them. I can serve them. I can make them better. I can rely, in the case of narcissists, I will rely on their power and their strength. And that's where someone who's codependent, who sort of doesn't have those kinds of boundaries, is drawn to. And that's why it tends to create this very intimate dance.
So you've got a narcissist, and if we're thinking about it in terms of a codependent and a narcissist in a relationship, you've got a narcissist who is all about self, a codependent who is all about other.
Right.
I mean, that must just be chaos. First of all, how do we spot a narcissist? If there's people listening in now, and it's become a real sort of buzzword, narcissism and narcissist, and it's become a kind of, you know, if you go online and type in, how do I spot a narcissist? There's about a million different articles as to how and whatever, and doing that awful diagnosis of your partner online. But in your experience, what are the key signs for an actual diagnosis of narcissism?
Well, you know, like a lot of diagnoses, the key signs are the extreme of what many of characteristics that many people have. So, if you think about it, being self-absorbed, focusing on yourself, believing that you have abilities and strengths that are special, that are different, and I'm not talking about magical or supernatural, but that you can do things that other people can't, that you deserve attention and power because you are different than others in a positive way. These are all characteristics of narcissists. Now, if you think about it, if you dial that down a little bit, that's a confident person. That's some of the most successful people. Think about some of the most successful people we know.
Donald Trump.
They tend to be higher. Among others, but even athletes, other politicians, successful business people, they tend to have some of those characteristics.
Mm.
What makes it pathological is when those characteristics create blind spots, create problems for other people around them, so much so that it destroys relationships, it ruins work relationships, or they put themselves in risky situations because, frankly, they can't see the world through any other eyes. And I know that sounds like a number of politicians and leaders, et cetera, but that is it. Now, the scary thing about narcissism is what usually underlies it is a whole lot of fear, a whole lot of insecurity, and it's really kind of a translating those fears and insecurities to exactly the opposite. So it's not covering up where they know that they're insecure, but it's kind of, I've taken that insecurity, I've taken those fears of failure, I've taken all of that, and not only have I buried it, but I've turned it into something that's pathological.
Do narcissists know what they're doing? And I'm thinking of, you know, I'm fairly convinced I've been in a relationship with at least one clinical, and I'm not just bandying the term around for the sake of this segment, but I mean genuine narcissist, where I have been driven to insanity, you know, and I'm hugely codependent, something I've been working on for a long time, but I have been driven to the point of insanity by some partners who sometimes I've sort of resigned myself and thought they are doing this in a calculated way. And in some senses, I've had a couple of people say, you know, you can't cure narcissists. That's how they are forever. So you have to get out. There's no let's go to therapy because they won't admit that there's ever a problem.
Because, so if we take this to its clinical extreme, we move it to the clinical realm, Sarah Jane, this is, we call it narcissistic personality disorder.
Mm.
So part of the problem you run into with personality disorders are that this is their disposition. We say that they tend to have very little insight because this is who they are.
Sure.
So are they being calculated in their actions? Yes. I mean, they are being calculated, but are they saying to themselves, ooh, I know I'm a narcissist, and so I'm going to act like this? No. This is just who I, you hear this look, this is who I am. And in fact, one of the ways that we sort of diagnose a personality disorder is the person themselves who has it tends not to be too distressed. It's everybody around them, right? And so you ask the question, you know, can't, well, first of all, it is possible for individuals with narcissistic personality disorder or other personality disorders to get help in therapy. Absolutely. But they have to be willing to let that guard down just a little bit, to let those blind spots trip them up enough that they begin to question what's going on in my life. And once they do that, that's where the open door is. But you're absolutely right. It's one of the most difficult things to do because they just think they're doing their thing and it's everybody else's problem.
You directed us to a fascinating article on Psychology Today, talking about just this, the link between codependency and narcissists, or how narcissists form abusive codependent relationships. And there's a very interesting part here which talks about the codependent enabling narcissistic cycle, starting with that sort of initial charm, the initial lure, increasing then criticism, abuse. You then get contrition and apology. This is sounding so familiar. And then bribes to sort of win the victim back. And this pattern just goes on ad nauseum infinitum. It's sort of a constant dangling of the carrot.
It absolutely is. And again, think about someone who's codependent. Every time there's contrition and apology, there is a sign of sort of neediness, which the codependent feeds off of. I can help them. Similarly, when there is charm and strength, the codependent feeds off of that. They can help me. Then in between, you get sort of the criticism and the abuse. The individual who's codependent, sort of, they don't like that, but it doesn't stay there. And so it's this wave after wave of abuse and then pull it back, and then contrition and then pull it back. And similarly, on the flip side, think about the narcissist. This is perfect for a narcissist. The codependent person is completely engaged in every move that the narcissist is making, which only feeds into their desire for power and recognition and this understanding or this belief that what I do influences others. Well, the codependent is completely influenced by it. So it feeds the narcissism.
Dr. Josh, there'll be a lot of people listening in now who have found themselves in what I would call toxic, even abusive relationships. And they will be recognizing this pattern of behavior that involves a lot of that sort of gaslighting. That's another term that we've become quite familiar with recently. Holding somebody hostage emotionally. This circle, this very sort of cyclical pattern of abuse, contrition, apology, abuse. Does that mean that everyone who's been in a relationship of that nature has been in a relationship with a narcissist? Or is it dangerous if we start flinging that word around? Because some people are just assholes.
Yeah. I don't know if there's an asshole personality disorder, but there is something along those lines. Yes, you do need to be careful. I mean, you need to be careful because think of it as extremes. There are individuals who have narcissistic tendencies. There are individuals who have codependent tendencies but are not full-blown pathological. So I would say this, though. If what you and I are talking about is resonating with you, oh, my God, this is my relationship, then first, it doesn't mean that you have codependent personality disorder and that the other person has narcissistic personality disorder, but it does mean you are in a narcissistic codependent loop. And so part of the litmus test to sort of see how bad off it is to, number one, bring it to the attention of your significant other. We got a problem here. You're going to know real quickly about whether they want to engage or not. Then number two, you always want to look out for your safety, particularly if you're dealing with someone who's narcissistic, because you don't know if it's going to go to abuse. But if you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you see yourself in this loop, then I absolutely would consider it may be time to get out, but always take your safety in mind first, because with a narcissist, you kind of never know.
Let's talk about enabling. We talk about the idea of people enabling addicts and enabling, presumably by the codependents are by their very nature great enablers because they're great rescuers or wannabe rescuers. So I guess that in some way, and this is in no way to start apportioning blame at all, but codependent people must enable narcissists, because if you just say no to a narcissist and walk away, isn't that the absolute their worst thing ever? Aren't boundaried people to narcissists, boundaried people are like the, you know, I don't know, the Antichrist, aren't they?
Well, it's like the garlic in front of a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kryptonite.
Yes.
Superman.
Yes, because that's exactly, and this is what I'm talking, you hit it on the head, is codependents tend to, they feed positively and negatively on that emotional toxicity that a narcissist puts out there. They don't know, they can't disengage. And so for a narcissist, even if it's negative attention, so even if it's crying or not helping them, just the emotional outpour is enabling, because what it says to the narcissist is, see, I have influence. Look how much influence I have. And so, yes, setting boundaries with a narcissist is incredibly important. And for a codependent, setting boundaries is incredibly difficult.
Mm.
And that's why this dance very often happens.
Before we finish, is there hope? If there are people listening now and like they say, you know, this sounds like a relationship that I'm in, and it's unlikely to be the narcissists that are listening in going, oh, this sounds just like me. But if people are listening in and this relationship sounds familiar, this pattern sounds familiar, is there hope, or does the hope lie in finding strength to walk away and reclaiming yourself as an individual?
No, there is hope, because what I said in the beginning, it's all about degrees. How severe is it? There are lots of us walking around who have codependent tendencies and narcissistic tendencies. That doesn't mean that we're pathological. And so if it hasn't really crossed over that bad, but this sounds like a pattern in your relationship, it's absolutely worth it to see, can we work on this? And again, the litmus test is, is your partner, A, willing to hear that there's a problem in the relationship, and B, are they willing to go do something? If that is the case, then chances are they don't have narcissistic personality disorder. They may be a little narcissistic, but they are willing to work on it. And that's why I'm saying you don't have to run, but if you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried to get help, tried to go counseling, and your partner says, I have no idea what you're talking about. There's no problem here. I am good. This is the way that I am. If any partner says, I am good, this is the way that I am, it's time to think about walking on a relationship, whether narcissistic or not, because what that person is saying is, I don't care enough about the relationship to consider doing anything differently.
Yeah. Sure. It is a powerful topic, as you said at the beginning, and something that I'm sure we will come back to in future. Dr. Josh is our guest every Wednesday for Ask Dr. Josh. You can follow him on Twitter at every week I mess this up, at Dr. Josh K. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, Dr. Josh K. And his website is joshclaypo.com. We'll chat again next week, Dr. Josh. Thanks so much.